This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, fresh off the NFL season coming to a close, and it's all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. Of course, you can catch Ben overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, are you digging a grave for the Chiefs and saying they're the worst franchise of all time, like seemingly the national media is doing?
I'm missing out on this, guys. I guess the dog pile, I'm not jumped on top of the Chiefs yet. It is fascinating, though. I am impressed that all week, actually 2 weeks leading into the Super Bowl, it was the Chiefs are a dynasty. We're like, are they going to catch the Patriots? You know, Belichick versus Andy Reid, Mahomes versus Brady. And then they go out there. And granted, listen, Mahomes rode the vomit comet. He was terrible in the game. And now all of a sudden, I've got one of my colleagues saying, Andy Reid's got to go. And Mahomes, every nerd's got a stat about how Mahomes has actually been progressively worse over the last 3 years. I mean, it's over the top. The thing about, like, the Jalen Hurts love, listen, he played well. I didn't think he was amazing. He played pretty well for the Eagles. But if the Eagles called up the Chiefs and said, we'll trade you Jalen Hurts for Patrick Mahomes right now, do you think the Chiefs would make that trade? I don't think they would, right? And of course not. So calm down. Just because they won the Super Bowl does not mean Jalen Hurts is God's gift to the quarterback position. He was good. He didn't choke. Congratulations, they won. Now let's see if they can do it again.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to put it. You know, you had a good game or a bad game. It doesn't define you as a player, and this game doesn't define Andy Reid as a coach. You mentioned your colleague Rob Parker with Fitz. Probably the dumbest comment I've heard in two decades about sports in general. He says Andy Reid should resign because he's getting progressively worse. Is Rob Parker just content farming, or does he actually believe idiot stuff?
Well, you got to understand, when I filled in at EEI in Boston for a while, and Rob was on TV at that time, and he spent the entire 20 years the Patriots were winning Super Bowls every couple of years, pretty much, bashing Tom Brady as the loat, the luckiest of all time, and ripping Bill Belichick. So it's I love Rob. Rob's one of my good friends, but that's his shtick. That's what Rob does. He piles on, and he sees a weakness, and he just goes for it. And I would keep Andy Reid. I would want Andy Reid to coach the Chiefs another 8 years if he's willing to do it. Right up until his mid 70s, just have him keep coaching Mahomes. The whole thing, Spags, the defensive coordinator, he was going to get a head coaching job. Now the game's passed him by. It's like everything is so over the top. It's just absolutely wild there. But the take machine, and it is a lot engagement farming because, hey, listen, you get attention. The crazier the take, people know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, we hear a lot of crazy takes whenever we see, like a result in the Super Bowl. But I don't think it necessarily is a crazy take to think that, the Chiefs are going to rehaul their roster. We spent a lot of yesterday talking about potential trade pieces that the Chiefs could have when it comes to, next year's team. And guys that came up were like, guys like Chris Jones, guys like Trent McDuffie, And Ben, I bring this up to you because, you know, the Rams won a Super Bowl and then they kind of just hold on to everything, had a good draft in recent history, like the last 2 years. But when you see teams fall like that on the biggest stage and they have all these pieces that now they need, like their biggest needs now are defensive tackle. They only have one under contract, Chris Jones. How do you see teams that do this more often than not, a.k.a. the Patriots of the 2000s era? If the Chiefs are that, they've got to do moves something like that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, see, I look at it, Dusty, like they just there's some fine-tuning. It's kind of like, you know, you buy a house and the house is kind of messed up a little bit. You don't necessarily need to take it all the way down to the studs. I mean, people are like, oh, you got to get new offensive linemen. You guys, you said the contractual situation with some of these guys is an issue. But I look at the Chiefs and I'm like, all right, listen, they won a bunch of close games. Good teams win close games. They had the worst possible moment to have a bad game in the Super Bowl. But no, you change the floors a little bit. You put some new drywall up, and that's it. As long as you have Mahomes and Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, I'm not as dramatic. I don't think this is a Shakespearean Greek tragedy for the Chiefs. I mean, they sucked at a time you cannot suck and all that. But you make a couple of tweaks here and a couple of adjustments there. And I would think with Mahomes, offensive players anyway are going to want to play in Kansas City because of Andy Reid and because of Mahomes. So you should be able to get guys, not that they're going to take discounts, but you'll be able to get guys that want to play there because of the quarterback. So there should be players out there, whether it's Cooper Kupp from the Rams, who might be on the backside of his career as a, you know, wide, and they don't even need a wide receiver per se, but guys like that, those veteran players that are available that are going to be changing teams. So I don't think it's as dire. I know other people do, but I think just a couple of tweaks here and there, and they'll be right back. Because you look at the division, the Chargers are still they're a mediocre team, even with Jim Harbaugh. They weren't much better than they had been. The Broncos, can they do that again? I don't necessarily believe that. And the Raiders have no idea where the front and the back is, so they're completely messed up.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, Kelce now becomes an issue, a conversation piece that everybody's going to have. Clark Hunt told us last week he thought Travis Kelce would be back. Travis did not have a great Super Bowl either. Some of the videos that are now, kind of surfacing, showing that, there were some plays where Travis wasn't involved and things of that nature. He mentioned it on his podcast. He has to think about it. I would tell Travis Kelce, don't make a rash decision based on the Super Bowl. I'd come back for one more. What would you do? What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, so my advice always is you got to keep coming back. I mean, make them literally, somebody from the Chiefs go in the locker room and take a pair of scissors and cut the jersey off of your body and rip the helmet off your head. But I will tell you, Bob, that I've been around long enough now to know when guys start talking about retirement, that's usually a sign it's time to hang it up. You're checked out and you're just not there. And I did hear the clip from his fledgling podcast there, Kelce, and it does sound like he's leaning that direction. And I remember I think that was like Parcells back in the day. He used to talk about that. If guys are starting to think about leaving, it's time to leave. And the other thing which is interesting is Kelce, if he wants, Travis Kelce could get one of those TV jobs talking football. They'd pay him a bunch of money, and he could do that once a week, like a studio-type role. So he's got plenty of options. He's apparently got tons of money from all the endorsements and the money he's made in the NFL. And it just kind of feels like, yeah, it's the right time. And for the Chiefs, it's a point of demarcation. They lost the Super Bowl. Now they can go to that next wave. If they are truly going to match the Patriots and be that super dynasty, then Mahomes is going to have to win with somebody other than Kelce, and he's going to have to win eventually with somebody other than Andy Reid, most likely. So those are all part of the deal. With if you're going to have extended success, why not now? It seems like a pretty good time. You can find a tight end in the draft or trade for somebody or sign a free agent and, go into it and start fresh and have Travis Kelce travel the world working the concert scene with Taylor Swift.
Well, let's move on to baseball season because that's what's really important. Are the Dodgers, Ben Mount, are the Dodgers good or bad for baseball?
Oh, the Dodgers are good because you either love the Dodgers or you hate the Dodgers. No, I'm all for the super team. And I'll use, Dusty, the Chiefs as an example. The Chiefs have been this great team the last couple of years. How many people watched the Super Bowl hoping the Chiefs were going to lose? There were a lot of people, right? Outside, obviously, of Kansas City. They're like, I'm tired of Andy Reid. I'm tired of Kelce. I'm tired of Mahomes. Like, the Dodgers are not anywhere near that level yet because they only won one World Series and then 2020, which was a couple years back. But they signed every good player. Every good player they got this. I don't know that's ever happened. Anyone they wanted, other than Juan Soto, which they didn't really make that big a push for, they got. And I think the Dodgers, I'm upset Mookie Betts is like, he was trying to downplay going back-to-back. And one of the Dodgers players, Miguel Rojas, was saying, they're going to win 120 games. And Mookie's trying to be like, just take it one game at a time. No, I think they've got to be the heels. I think they got to embrace it. But it is good for baseball because either you want to watch greatness or you want to see the Dodgers completely embarrass themselves and somehow screw this up and not even make the playoffs. But there's no middle ground. So those type of teams are great. Basketball, and I know you guys don't touch much basketball, but the NBA is missing that. There's no dominant team. There's no team to really hate. Everyone loves each other. And in baseball, if the Dodgers can be that team, that'd be wonderful. Be great. Everyone's going to have a packed crowd every time they come to town, every city they go to, because you want to see them lose. Or you like him and you want to see him win. So I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it because they're going to pack the ballpark wherever they go. People want to see, you know, that kind of traveling circus come to town like they did with the Yankees back in the day. Baseball has another opportunity, though, to grab what they built last year and move it forward before they have a lockout for an entire year and end cancel a season, you know?
Are you doom and gloom guy, Bob? How dare you?
I think it'd be the best thing to happen to baseball to have a lockout for a year, come back with a salary cap and a salary floor. I think every fan would love it.
I hate salary caps. I'm anti-salary cap guy. I don't like salary cap because it does, especially in baseball more than any other sport. Like baseball, the Dodgers, you can have the greatest team and they can go out there and, you know, a couple of pitchers get hot. They play the Royals in the World Series. A couple of pitchers of the Royals get hot, you lose. Like the salary cap thing, plus I don't want someone to cap how much money I can make, right? I want to work for people that want to overpay me. I don't want to cap someone's salary, but we are trending that direction, Bob, unfortunately. And you know what they're going to do is they're going to get rid of all this deferred money. I don't know how they would do that, though, because the Dodgers, it's like we're around the same age. When I was a kid, sometimes we'd buy stuff on layaway. Like the Dodgers, their entire roster is on layaway. And I feel bad for, like, the next generation of Dodger fans because they're going to suck in, like, 2050 when they have to pay Ohtani and all these guys all this deferred money. It's going to be a mess, and they're going to probably sell the team, whoever, you know, the group owning it now, and somebody's going to have to pay those bills. It makes Bobby Bonilla and the Mets look like, you know, child's play compared to what the Dodgers are doing right now.
Well, when we look at this MLB season, obviously you guys are the favorites to win it all again because you can just pay anybody you want, which we can have that conversation a different day because I think they're terrible for baseball because it's making people not want to watch a sport that people are already struggling to watch a sport, Ben. But either way you look at it, When does football end for you? Like, I know it's L.A., you do kind of, you know, you have a bigger NBA and all that sort of stuff, but, like, is it spring training where you start to get in that baseball groove, or does it have to get to opening day for you to really start to hit that baseball groove? And does football last the entire time out there?
Oh yeah, Dusty. You know, I mean, we fight the same battle. It's football, football, football. It's the NFL draft until April. We've got the scouting combine coming up in Indianapolis. That'll be a big content thing for us, and then the first wave of NFL free agency, and then there's like a second wave where they release players for salary cap reasons. So, no, the NFL is great because there's going to be something pretty much every day. And, like, baseball, like, I'm into some of the stories right now as teams start to show up to spring training. I think that's kind of interesting. It's, you know, Aaron Boone getting upset with the Dodgers the way they celebrated. Like, dopey stories like that, which I think are pretty good. And then baseball, the problem with baseball is we talk about it opening day. Everyone obsesses. If you win on opening day, you think your team's the greatest. If you lose, you think you blow. And then you kind of forget about it for a while until the All-Star break or so. And then by then, training camp opens up in the NFL. And so then you move back to football, and then you kind of get back into it when the playoffs come around. So it's the circle of life in sports, right?
Yeah. Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the Four Nations face-off in hockey, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Can't wait. I'm wrapping myself in the flag right now. Thank you, guys.
Later.
Ben Maller with us, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty, where you can get those Ben Maller chicken tenders all year round.
Might be a new menu item coming on, Dusty Snow Cone.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
If Big Maloney wants to add that one. As my name in his phone now is Dusty Snow.
Dusty's Snow Cone.
Yeah. Can't really make those, though.
It's hard. Got to shave that ice, right?
Yeah.
Got to get one of those little carts that they have at training camp that's always covered in bees that Chris Jones likes.
Yeah. Tiger's blood.
Yeah, you asked him a good question, I thought, about are the Dodgers good for baseball? And he answered it emphatically, yes. And I tend to agree because I think it's a villain, right? And everybody needs that villain. But I vehemently disagree about the salary cap with Ben. And I think for baseball, for sports, it's different than in life, right? Because in sports, it's a business. You're trying to make sure that everybody's making money and everybody's having a good time, you know, with all this kind of stuff. And there's many fan bases in baseball that just don't ever feel like they're involved in Major League Baseball because they're playing from behind all the time, whether it's here in Kansas City, Cincinnati, Oakland, all these places where you just never feel like you have an opportunity to win and be a contender. That's why, you know, another big reason why football dominates, not just the free TV, as we talked about, but every year people think they have a chance. Like we were talking yesterday, and I think it was you or Max said, like, the Giants just get a quarterback. They got Malik Nabers. They got a good running back. Like we're talking about that on the day and the week after the Super Bowl where the Giants have a top five pick. You know, like that's what football does. It creates that. They sell hope in baseball, as it should sell hope because it's spring, doesn't sell hope to a lot of people. But if you've got a salary cap and a salary floor, now you got everybody on that same level playing field. And I only think you're going to grow the game if you do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to agree with everything he says. No. I mean, I just think that, like, because he says, like, well, take the Chiefs, for example. Well, there is a salary cap in football, and they kept winning with patch-up jobs along the seasons, right? Like, they went and got Juju Smith-Schuster and DeAndre Hopkins and parlayed that into a Super Bowl run.
Right.
The year before, they had Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, who's living his worst life now.
Yeah, I mean, my God, that guy sucks.
Yeah, he's out. His football career's over.
Yeah, oh, yeah. His wife may be
like, strangled a woman and got arrested. And now he's, you know, facing charges for that. Plus, he can't catch a ball. Plus, nobody likes him. Plus, he's no longer being football. But there is a salary cap, or there isn't a salary cap in baseball. And the way the Dodgers are doing it is taking a sport where there's already a lack of interest and you're making it more of a, like, right when baseball started to change for the better and, as many have said, started a renaissance, like, the Dodgers completely shut that door immediately and just turned their back to everybody. It's like, well, we're just gonna go pay everybody, then we'll just pay them in the future because we can, because we're the Dodgers and we don't care. And it's like, other teams literally can do that, but they can't do that. And there's a reason why the Dodgers are hated as opposed to why the Chiefs are hated. The Chiefs are hated because they just win under circumstances that are just insanely hard to do.
They win differently all the time.
And they don't go out and buy their players. Like, they didn't go out and get A.J. Brown and go get, I don't know, pay Jamar Chase or something like that, and then, you know, build up their team and be like, okay, and then we're going to pay him in 2035. That's what the Dodgers are doing, because you can do that in baseball and it sucks, but they exploit that and they do it more than anybody else. I know the Yankees used to do it all the time, but we still hated the Yankees too.
The Yankees never did that deferred money stuff, though. No. That makes it even more egregious if you're the Dodgers.
But I mean, there was a time where, like, the Yankees lineup was like Derek Jeter, Mark Teixeira, Giambi, Posada, A-Rod, like all those, Matsui, like all those guys, like, what in the world are we doing here? And of course, they went on and won like every World Series for like four straight years. The Dodgers do this, and it's annoying because it's like every best player, like, their entire rotation could win a Cy Young. Half of their lineup has or can win an MVP. And they just keep going and keep doing it and keep getting those guys throughout the years. And it's like, yeah, we just need to stop doing this. And again, every team can do this, but they don't. And I think that's the reason why people hate the Dodgers, because you're like, well, if they can do it, so can we. If their owner can do it, so can ours. But everyone's owners don't do that. So literally, I don't know. It just it's annoying. I don't like it, and it's bad because there should be a salary cap for baseball. There should also be a floor, like you had mentioned, and I think it would make competition better, and competition within the sport makes it better. That's, again, why people hate the Chiefs, because the competition in the NFL is better than it's ever been, but yet one team just kept winning the grand prize. Now the Eagles win, the Chiefs go down a block, and no one thinks of them as a villain anymore, and they're no longer as hated as they were maybe 2 weeks ago. Baseball, you're going to hate the Dodgers for the entire year this year, the entire year next year, the entire year after that, and you're going to have your best shot at trying to play them in a World Series against a roster that doesn't have the money or the capability or the superstar power that they have. So I think that's why they're not good for baseball and they're not hated the same way the Chiefs are hated.
Yeah, I think that the baseball hatred, though, can dissipate if you do get a salary cap and a salary floor, because over the last couple of years, not last couple of years, about a year or so, I ask everybody all the time as a baseball fan, would you be upset if baseball shut down for a year but came back with a salary cap and a salary floor. I've not had one person tell me no. I've actually had more people be excited about that and say, is that really a possibility? Could we do that? I'd be willing to give up 2026 or 2027 to come back with a salary cap and a salary floor, knowing that everybody is on the same page. And look, when the NFL went out on strike back in the early 90s or whatever it was, and they came back, they had the salary cap, they had the salary floor, and look at where the NFL is right now. They picked up when baseball went on strike in 1994 and never let go. And baseball has an opportunity to make itself better as a game. I think they're headed in that direction. I know a lot of the purists don't like Rob Manfred and some of the stuff he's done. I like the fact that Rob Manfred is trying things and doing things and making baseball, I guess you could say, uncomfortable for a lot of the baseball lifers. But baseball needed to be made uncomfortable for a lot of the baseball lifers. And I love the pitch clock. I love the ghost runner. I love all that kind of stuff that he's brought to the game because it speeds it up.
Hours,
right?
2.5 hours long.
I mean, it's great. Like, you don't like the pitch clock when you're at the game, but when you're watching on TV, the pitch clock is the best.
I don't hate it at the game.
I don't either. I've been to games where, like, man, that game moved really quick, and you know, I only got one hot dog or whatever, right? But I think the next step is a salary cap and a salary floor, and I do believe that fans would want this, and fans would be forgivable, and I don't think the owners really would. Like, they'd lose a year, obviously, of revenue, but they're also not paying the players during a lockout, so you're not losing a whole heck of a lot, and you're resetting the game for the better. And for whatever reason, players and owners can't see this, and they can't fathom this, because another big problem in baseball is you have the rich owners versus the other owners as well. And the Dodgers are like, why should we be stopped what we can spend? And the Royals are like, hey, we need to have an even playing field. And the greatest sports league in the country has an even playing field. If you're baseball, why wouldn't you want to do that? And if you're a player, a salary cap may cap the high end, but everybody else, the 99 percentile of the low end, all their salaries are going to be brought up and people are going to make money because these teams have to get to a certain level. It's more than just about the one percenters in baseball. And I think the 99 percenters, the guys that don't make the huge, you know, money, they're going to have a big say in this go around, and they're not on the same page as the guys that are making a boatload of cash. So it's going to be crazy in baseball, but the best thing they could do is salary cap, salary floor, and if they have to stop the season or the sport for a year to do so, it will come back better than it's ever been.
I am with a couple of these text messages because somebody says from 816, dude, we would lose our minds all summer long if we didn't have baseball to watch. 100% agree. And then from the 816, selfishly, I don't want to miss a year of Bobby Wood Jr.'s prime.
Yeah,
Again, with you as well.
And no, I totally get that. But we also remember we had COVID and we all found something else to do when baseball wasn't there until they, you know, came back with a 60-game schedule. And they effed that up, too. That was embarrassing for both sides in baseball when they were trying to get the job done during COVID to get back to play. And the owners and players are bickering and fighting during a pandemic about nonsense. And so I think you will look. The NFL is a 365-day-a-year product, right? You will miss a couple of games of baseball, you will miss it, but you know when it comes back, knock on wood, it will be better than when it left. And I think if it comes back with a cap and a floor, everybody would be like, great, let's go, let's move forward. And I'd rather have the opportunity to win a championship every year than another year Bobby Witt's prime, because if the level playing field is there, we're going to have an opportunity to win championships, not once every 5 to 10 years.
Another moment where we can respect the text. From the 913, I've used this example before, but baseball is like playing a game of Monopoly with somebody who starts the game with a lot more money and houses and hotels owned before you even roll the dice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.